This Do Lectures episode features entrepreneur, writer and yoga teacher Ali Maz, recorded live at the Global Event in Cardigan, West Wales in 2017.
Okay, hi guys. Shout out to everyone that showed up at yoga this morning. Who was at yoga this morning? Yay! Yeah, and that's not to shame people that didn't show up to yoga. Just looking at Mark. So my name is Ali Maz. My full name is Alexandra Mazerol, so everyone calls me Ali Maz. So it's interesting that this age keeps coming up for people. We keep saying when I was 15 years old. So when I was 15 years old, I was at a sleepover party, pool party, and I had gone inside from the pool, used the washroom, and I was washing my hands, and I looked at myself in the mirror, and I had this experience where I could see my face, I could see my body, but I didn't feel like it was me. I felt like I couldn't recognize myself. And I had thoughts, I could think thoughts, I could see my body, but there was something else inside of me that I felt like was me. So I felt this disconnection. I had a body, I had a mind, and then I had something deeper. And it was just this really simple moment of washing my hands thinking, who is that person in the mirror? So we went to sleep that night, my friends and I, and I said, you guys know when you look in the mirror and like you don't recognize yourself? And everyone was like, no. I was like, you know, like when you see yourself but it's not you and you're like the something bigger than your body. And everyone was like, we have no idea what we're talking about. So at 15, I realized, you know, it's kind of survival, right? I didn't want to seem like I was weird or, you know, was talking about something too esoteric or out there. So I kind of just shut that down because this is who you're supposed to be as a female. So it was like, you know, be skinny and fit, but also curvy, okay? Be smart, but definitely don't be too smart. Be pretty, but not like too pretty. You know, you want to still be like approachable. Be funny, but not funnier than the boys. Be confident, but not intimidating. So it was like just... also, just be in this box, but don't be too much of anything. So this is who I became. I became bulimic, which for me was an eating disorder because I felt so much. I was the girl looking in the mirror, not recognizing myself. So I became this person that was feeling too much. And so for me, I would just eat because it was a way to numb and kind of control. And then for me, throwing up or purging became this way of kind of getting back to square one. I just felt like, okay, now I can handle whatever life is throwing at me. I became a crazy overachiever. So grades, I was a competitive dancer. Everything was just about being the best, being the best, being the best. I was highly competitive, especially with other girls. I was prone to breakdowns, so I can remember having one of my first anxiety panic attacks at 13 years old over a contour map test, which is basically it's basically drawing. And I remember I had a huge breakdown. My teacher had to take me outside. I was sick all the time. I just always had a cold. And I was a complete insomniac. I felt like I never slept. Okay, so where did I go? At 18, I got in my car and I drove to Los Angeles, the city of dreams and insecurity. I went to pursue a professional dance career. So I signed with an agency. One of the first movies I did, this is Selena Gomez in her like very young years. And this film, it was called Another Cinderella Story or something. Does anyone know that movie? It never went to theaters. You do? Amazing. I'm in a red hoodie dancing in the back of a scene. And this was filmed actually at a mental institution that they made into a dance studio. It was like not a very glamorous life. So I spent most of my time in Los Angeles basically going to dance auditions for, I'm an old person, so Christina Aguilera, Britney Spears, Janet Jackson. And I would just show up, you know, in like a crop top and booty shorts and just shaking it. And that was, you know, I spent my whole life training classically, but my whole life had to be as a commercial dancer. It didn't work for a lot of reasons because that body of mine and this mind that I had and this other thing were in a huge disconnect. I was pushing my body to the limit. So I'm binging, purging. Keep in mind, I'm an overachiever. I'm highly competitive. I have this thinking mind that never stops saying you're never going to make it. You're not good enough. So I have that. And then I also have casting directors, you know, dance teachers, coaches also saying the same things. So who I actually was not that person that wanted to like, you know, shake mass in a music video. I was the person looking in the mirror questioning life. I was actually a spiritual seeker. I was looking for something greater than myself. So deep down, I was resilient, brave, sensitive, emotional, passionate, driven, connected. But all of those things I really couldn't show. I was just sort of a body behind an artist or, you know, someone that could mold myself to play a character. So I really didn't have a sense of who I was at all. I just was showing up being who people thought I needed to be. So something shifted for me. I moved home to Vancouver in Canada after I was in Los Angeles, and I had a huge breakdown, got really sick. And my mom saw me and went, oh my God, like you need to kind of come home, come stay at the house. I was hospitalized for pneumonia. And I found yoga because I wanted to stay fit. You know, it wasn't because I was seeking spiritually. I just thought, oh God, I just need to stay fit. Walked into a yoga class. For about the first 6 months of yoga, I was just pushing myself. I wanted to be, again, the overachiever. I wanted to be the best one, the most flexible, the cutest outfit, looking good in yoga. And then I had this moment in Shavasana, which is at the end of the yoga practice, and I just broke down into tears, and I thought, oh my God, I have been abusing and pushing myself for so long for something that I don't even want to do anymore. And so that was the beginning of this journey of forgiving myself and for seeing my body as a tool, as a vehicle for my expression and my passion. I started to see that it wasn't everyone against me, it was actually my own mind that had this default or set to self-deprecating, not good enough. So I started teaching yoga. I taught for about 4 years and kind of did the same thing. I actually became my same competitive dancer as a yoga teacher. So I stopped dyeing my hair, I stopped wearing makeup, I wore all of the flowy clothing and the beads and drank the green juice. And I was actually disguising my eating disorder through raw food and being a really strict vegan, always on a juice cleanse. And then I broke down again. Your body has an amazing capacity to keep pushing you off of the path you're not supposed to be on. So I got hit over the head again. And I had this dark night of the soul where I felt like I really hit my knees and I was like, I thought I was supposed to be a dancer. Not for me. I thought I was supposed to teach yoga, but this isn't working either. What am I supposed to be doing? And I heard it on a very, very deep level was that I was supposed to go back to the young person that created all of these negative patterns. I had to go back to this 14-year-old that was, you know, competitive, overachieving, weird about food, all of the shit that I was doing, I had to go back to her. So Girlvana Yoga was created. I had to go back and heal that teenager that was inside of me. And so I created a yoga retreat, but for teenage girls. This is what it looks like. So what we do is we go away to a beautiful place similar to you know, the natural settings here, and we come together and we hike and we craft and we do yoga, but we talk about the real stuff. We talk about what it's like to be sort of in this place of coming of age. So we talk about periods and sex and losing virginity, all the stuff that no one talks about, and we talk about it. So I have a video because my girl Anissa hooked me up and I didn't know how to make a video happen. And so this is the retreat.
I was always questioning myself, saying like, what's wrong? What's going on? Like, why do I feel this way? I have a really big problem with just learning how to love myself. I guess I ask myself a lot if I'm good enough.
What does it mean to be alive?
I think those questions are needed and they really helped me to open up.
The first time I took a class with Ali, she said, you don't need to be perfect, you don't need to impress anyone. And I try and remind myself that while I'm doing yoga, and it's carried on with me throughout everything else in my life.
We're hiking and we're in mountains and then we're swimming, and I've laughed more in this past week than I have in like the past few months for sure. It's just been the most magical thing ever.
I came here thinking that it was just gonna be like you do yoga in the morning and then just like chill. I don't know. I didn't know that I would discover so much about myself.
The biggest thing I'll take away is that other people do care.
I felt like a different person here, like more happy, and I feel stronger and more comfortable in my own skin.
But I just have to accept what's going on, and I have to be okay with me and who I am, and just try to live to the fullest potential that life can give. And I think the most special part has been connecting with all these people.
I've met so many amazing women. They're not girls, they're women. So many amazing women that have just already changed my life.
that's all I could be, that my face is my face and my body is my body and my thoughts are my thoughts, and definitely my mind is the most powerful. If I could change my mind, I could change my world.
I just led a retreat before I came here, and it's just raw for me. Because I love what I do, and I have the privilege and the honor to witness so much beauty and to connect with people on the deepest level. So that's just me crying in the corner. Anyways, okay. So one of the biggest questions I ask girls a lot is, who were you before the world told you who to be? And if you can remember this, and I ask all of you this question, it's like, who were you before, you know, social media and advertising and all the beautiful things that Emma said? Like, who were you before you were told to be this but not too much of this and this not too much of that? And what often we come up with is just like this purity, this joy, this beauty, this like you had your own mind and you didn't care about what people thought and you just chose for you and you spoke up and you like ate the food you wanted to eat and you slept when you were tired and you just did the things that you wanted to do. So I really encourage this question. I think it's really important. This is sort of what we base... these are sort of the guidelines. I'm writing the Girl Vanna book right now, and this is like what it's based off of. So tell the truth about who you are. Once I started telling the truth about who I was, meaning I wasn't just like, I'm Allie the dancer, but I'm emotional, I'm sensitive, I have, you know, I'm an extrovert, but really I love to be alone. Like when I started to tell people who I was, then I could really connect with people on a deeper level. I met some of the best friends of my life, the love of my life. I opened up deeper dialogues with my parents. Your vulnerability is your superpower. I grew up with my father, who was an amazing man, but always saying, stop crying. This is so silly. Stop crying. Or you're too sensitive. You got to grow thicker skin. And so I really was afraid to show up as who I was. But as soon as I started to let people in, I realized how powerful I was and how I could help heal and connect with people. All this pain is not for nothing. This is huge because there's going to be things that happen in your life that you can't control. There's going to be things in your life that are really, really painful, and then you're going to realize it's going to make sense for you later on. So if you're in pain right now, it's not for nothing. Khalil Gibran says our ability to hold our suffering and our pain is the same capacity we have to hold our joy. He says that the same knives that sort of carve out the lute is the same instrument that plays you music, and the same glass that's burned in the potter's oven is the same glass that holds your wine. There's a sanctuary inside of you. Go there and find your answer. You know, people are going to tell you a lot of things about who you should be, where you should go, what you should do, and ultimately you've always known the answer. So if you're confused about making a decision, if you're confused about what's next in your life, go inside. There are answers there for you. Trust your gut, it's always right. That intuition, that like knowingness, you've probably felt it in butterflies, but you've also probably felt it in a stomach ache around people and situations. That's your internal guidance system. Everybody has this. This is so important that you listen to it. If you have to fold to fit, it ain't right. If you feel like you're starting to shrink yourself and kind of hold or brace yourself for certain situations, it's not right for you, even if it's the thing you thought you wanted to do. I want to leave you with this last thought. Can someone just say something real? So I deal with a lot of girls that come in and we see rich girl, poor girl, all ethnicities, different backgrounds come together. And we ask this question, if you really knew me, you would know. And it gives people the opportunity to express a story that maybe they haven't even told their closest friends. And often what comes up is the realest truth of who they are. And so I see girls with anxiety, depression, cutting, and suicide. And years ago, I went to my spiritual teacher and I said, I keep running up against girls that want to end it all, that want to stop it, and they don't want to live. And she said, it's because
They're not hearing or feeling anything real. Oftentimes, our parents and the adults in our life are sort of painting over pain. They don't want to go there. They're smiling even when they're upset. So you're seeing a lot of falsity in the world. And so ending it could feel like the realest thing there is. So what I encourage you to do is just to say something real, and especially for the adults in the room, and especially for the parents in the room. I really encourage you to be completely who you are, because it's not what you say, it's what you do. And that's ultimately what we're watching, what we're learning from, is who you are. So the world is craving people saying something real and saying something true. So I really encourage you to just be real. So Girl Vanna Yoga, yes, it's a camp for girls, but I have a business partner that does this work for boys. We lead co-ed retreats together. All of the work that I do with girls and boys, I also do with women and men. So yeah, I'm talking about girls, but I'm talking about all of us here. We all struggle. We all have our shit. I always say same, you know, pain, but different plot, different characters. And the more you can open yourself up and connect with one another from that real place, that's where the love is. That's where the connection is. So I just want to leave you with that thought. Please just say something real to yourself and to each other. And it's my great honor to be up here on the stage. And it's my great honor to be here in Wales, all the way from Canada. So we'll finish with the one word, namaste. It means that the light inside of me sees and acknowledges you, that same light inside of you. But I like to always go a little further, that the darkness, the loneliness, all of that I am, sees and honors that inside of you as well. So, namaste.
The Do Lectures is here to share stories of remarkable people in the hope they will inspire you to go and do amazing things too. There are over 300 talks to listen to, or if you prefer, watch on our website, thedolectures.com. Hit the subscribe button on your favorite podcast platform to get the latest episodes when they come out.